Well, tonight we're thinking about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning here we celebrated the Lord's Supper. I was greatly blessed to sit at the table with brothers and sisters who, some of whom I'd never met before, and yet to experience the presence of Christ, to experience that sense of unity, to worship the Lord and to remember Him. And the Lord for Christians is Jesus. Jesus is Lord. That's been the confession of God's people for almost 2,000 years, that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is not only the Messiah, He is God, the Lord. And a lot of what Christians do focuses on Jesus. A lot of what happens in church focuses on Jesus. And sometimes we can be in church regularly and we see everything that's happening, we see everything that's going on, but we can miss the big picture, we can miss Jesus in it all. There are people in churches all over Scotland tonight who are going through the same things that we are going through tonight, who are reading the scriptures, who are singing, who are praying, and yet they are missing Jesus. They are missing the big picture. I don't know where you are, whether you come here all the time, whether you have seen the big picture, whether you do know who Jesus is. I don't know whether you've believed. I don't know whether you've believed but you haven't told anyone. I don't know whether you want to believe but you haven't made that step yet. I don't know maybe whether you're just here to keep the family happy. There's lots of reasons why people go to church. Maybe you're here for the first time. Shouldn't we pray that every Sunday there are people who are here for the first time? What is all this about? What are we doing here? What's the big picture? Who is the Jesus who's at the centre of what we do? Well, we remember this morning that the death and resurrection of Jesus go to the heart of what Jesus is about who He is, about why He came. His death and resurrection. Out of everything we can say about Jesus, we really have to start there. We really have to see everything that Jesus reveals to us about God in the light of the cross. It's a strange thing, you know, Christianity. I don't know if you've ever thought, the cross is our logo. It's the most enduring logo in the world of the Nike swoosh and the Adidas leaf and the Mercedes kind of thing. And, you know, all the logos that we know. Cross is the most enduring logo. And the logo of the church is a means of execution. Can't think of many organizations that would have a noose as their logo or an electric chair as their logo. Or a firing squad as their logo. But our logo is a cross. A means of execution. Right there, our logo deals with the death. And in a way, because it's an empty cross, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Gets right to the heart of what this whole thing, the church and everything we do here is about. It's about Jesus. We've been reading tonight something ancient, something almost 2,000 years old, written by a guy called Luke, a doctor, a work of history. Right at the beginning of his gospel, he writes this: "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Christianity is based in history. Everything we do here is based in history. Things that happened. The gospel that we read, it's not fairy stories. It's real. It happened in our world. a real event, just like the stuff that you are reading about on your news app or seeing on the TV today. Real things. Luke, a historian, compiles an account for a guy called Theophilus who's paid for it because he wants to know what actually happened. Luke's investigated. He's done what all the journalists are doing. Well, at least some of them. Looking into the truth and writing about it. And what we read earlier on was part of that account that Luke put together. On a Friday, pretty much like our Fridays, last but one day of the week, on a Friday about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was put to death. He died, crucified by the Romans, after being set up and lynched by the Jewish religious leaders. This happened. And then on a Sunday, the following Sunday, like our Sundays, it was the first day of the week, the disciples found an empty tomb. The disciples walked along a road and met Jesus again. A Jesus who had been flogged and nailed to a cross, who had breathed his last, who had a spear thrust into his side, who was as dead as any dead person can be, who was laying in a tomb. On that Sunday, he was alive. That's what we read about. Luke, the historian, he investigated it all carefully. He interviewed the eyewitnesses. He put it together. He wrote it. What we do here is based in history. And that means something. It means it's not easy to ignore. We're going to be thinking about the things that we read about. His death and resurrection. The death of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to be thinking about what it means for us. And it means three things. It means three things for you tonight. If you believe, it means these three things for you. If you don't yet believe, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, it means these three things for you. And those three things are forgiveness, life, and hope. Forgiveness, life, and hope. Forgiveness. I wonder if you ever talk to your friends, people out around about forgiveness. Forgiveness can sometimes seem quite a scarce commodity. And yet many people out there crave forgiveness. Jesus' death is about forgiveness. The story of Jesus is part of a much bigger story. That's why we don't just have the Gospels, we have this whole thing. Part of a much bigger story. It's a story about how human beings have become disconnected from their Creator, from the God who made all of this. Human beings have become disconnected from God. The story is about how human beings have become broken, have become less than truly human, less than what they were created to be. We're not all victims. We're not only all victims of evil, victims of what we call sin, but we're all perpetrators too of evil and sin. There's lots of things in the news about the evil out there, the evil of terror, the evil of poverty, the evil of hunger, the evil that's happening in Syria right now. But the big story of the Bible tells us that we are disconnected from our Creator because there is evil in us. All of us. And so when we look around us at the world and we ask what is wrong with it, what is wrong with the world? We are. It's the answer that the Bible gives. Why are things the way they are? Because we are the way we are. As human beings, we are all disconnected from our Creator because we have evil within us. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of what we're supposed to be. And because we sinned against God, we sin against one another. We sin against God by spoiling His world, damaging ourselves, hurting other people. We take God's good gifts, His love, and we rubbish them. And we have all, by nature, become part of that. That's the big story of the Bible. That's how the Bible sets the scene. And if that's all the Bible told us, well, I don't think any of us would be here. Because the Bible tells us that because this is God's world, because He is our Creator, because He did create all of this, that He's actually committed to putting it right. And that means that every injustice, every evil, every sin is going to be judged. Every bad thing is going to be brought to light and put to rights. There's no sweeping under the carpet with God. For none of us can there be any kind of seedy backroom deals, any grubby corruption for us or for anyone else. That we can go to God and say, well, okay, yeah, I know I did that, I know I did that, but can't you just see that there were reasons? Can't you just see that, I had my reasons for doing that? Can you not just turn a blind eye? God's committed to putting things right. And that means every sin, every evil will be judged. Full stop. God is pure justice. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but I'm really glad. Because otherwise there wouldn't be any hope for this world. Everyone is going to be held to account. Every evil is going to be accounted for and judged before God so that this world can be put right. Everyone will be judged. The trouble is, we are everyone. By nature, we are everyone. The story of the Bible is that there's forgiveness. It's what we need. Not backroom deals, not trying to persuade God that He should cut us some slack, not trying to say, well, look at what I've done with my life, God. Surely you've got to see that that's worth something. It isn't. What we need is forgiveness. Forgiveness from God. And the story of the Bible is that God's made a way. A way for all of us. The incredible truth of who Jesus is, as we've already said, is that He is God. Come into the world to make a way so that we can be forgiven. Let me read you two verses written by one of Jesus' disciples. After Jesus' death and resurrection, when the disciples tried to make sense of it all, Peter, in his first letter and in chapter 2, he writes this: Christ suffered for you. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. Let me read that again. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. By His wounds, you were healed. God is going to judge every evil, every sin, every injustice that's been committed by anyone ever. How can we be forgiven? How can we find that there's a way out of that? Because Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. By His wounds we are healed. Right there at that cross. God deals with our evil, our sins, the injustices that we have perpetrated, because Christ takes them as his own. That's the incredible truth at the heart of Christianity. That's why these people, most of these people, gather here Sunday by Sunday to praise God. Isn't that why we do it? Because this is the incredible truth at the heart of Christianity. That on the cross, Jesus took God's justice. He was held to account, not for his sins, but for ours, in our place. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. To bring us peace, he was punished, so that we could be forgiven. In the very next chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter writes this: "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." The righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God. At the cross, God himself takes our sins on himself, deals with our sins within himself. Christ suffers, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have forgiveness. I don't know if you understand that. Do you know that forgiveness? Have you asked for that forgiveness? It can only be found from God because of what Jesus has done for us. But forgiveness is just the start of why we're here, why the church is here, why we do what we do. The second thing I want to tell you about is life. Forgiveness and life. We just read from 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, for our purpose: to bring you to God. We were thinking about the big story of the Bible, about how human beings have fallen, have become less than what they were created to be. Forgiveness is just part of what the Bible calls redemption. We don't really come across the word redemption very often these days, but I tell you, sometimes it's worth reading the small print on those coupons you get in the co-op. Because it tells you about redemption sometimes on the back of those. That the coupon can be redeemed for its value. Redemption is buying something back. It's realizing something's full worth. Not like realizing as in, oh yeah, that's the full worth. Realizing as in making real, making it real. Forgiveness is part of what we call redemption. Realizing the full worth of what it means to be human. God buying us back from what we have become to make us what we always were purposed to be in God's plan. The root of our problems is that we're disconnected from God because of our sins. We're broken. But Jesus has come to fix us. And as Christians, we sometimes forget this. And I mentioned this last night. Yes, at the cross, Jesus paid for our sins, so that we might know forgiveness. But that was in order to do something else, to bring us to God, so that we might be redeemed. Jesus came to forgive, but he came with a much bigger purpose in mind. In John 10:10, one of my favorite gospel verses, Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life." Life. And have it to the full. "I have come that they might have life. They, the ones who believe in me, the ones who find this forgiveness, so that they might have life and have it to the full. That's why the cross is a place of hope. Forgiveness is the beginning of the path to life. Christianity is about real life. Life in the fullest possible way. There's a real challenge to us there as Christians, isn't there? Is that what our lives look like? Life in the fullest possible way. That's what Christ has come to give to us. We the broken, we the lost, we the sinners. Through the power of Christ's death and resurrection, we the broken can be fixed. We the lost can be found. Jesus, through his forgiveness, brings us to God. He restores that broken connection with our Creator. That is the very essence of what real life is. He makes us, for the first time, to start to experience what it means to be truly human. It's not truly human to live without that relationship to our Creator, without that life from our Father that we experience day by day. Jesus came to restore that, to bring us to God, so that we might be called sons and daughters of God. That's the language of the Bible. Jesus' death and resurrection brings us real life. A life of peace, of joy, of love and hope. Yes, we still struggle with anxiety, with sadness. Sometimes we struggle with bitterness and hatred. Sometimes we struggle with despair. But through that restored connection with the Father, into our lives continues to come peace, joy, love, hope, real life that flows from the Father through the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit into our lives, and which ought to irrigate the whole of our lives. God came, Jesus came to give us not merely forgiveness, but life. Life that we begin to experience now. Part of our discipleship as Christians is to really explore what that means. It's explained in many ways in the New Testament. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, growing to maturity. That's what discipleship is about. It's about how we begin to realize more of God's life. How we begin to realize a new way of living. And it's a great shame that the church over the years has given people the impression that to become a Christian is to cast off many of the good things from life, so that our lives just become a husk of introspection and guilt. That's the impression that the church has often given. That's not what Christianity is. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to give rich and fruitful lives, so that every good gift that God has given to us, whether it's the created world, whether it's nature, whether it's science, whether it's art, whether it's music, whether it's paintings, whether it's any of these things, any good gift in life, is irrigated and regenerated by this life Christ has come to give us. The cross and the forgiveness that Christ purchased for us there is the way to life. We begin to experience it now. Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And you might be saying, well, yeah, but I've been to the graveyard. Well, that's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is about. It's what we sang about in Romans 8. The same power of God that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead will also give our dead bodies life again. One day. That takes us on to the third thing. Forgiveness, life, hope. Where's this life going to be fully realized? Not in this life. We begin to experience it here. We begin to experience what it is to be truly human. As we seek God every day and as we experience the freedom, the liberty of living as God's people in His world. Despite the suffering, despite the oppression, despite the opposition, we nurture the life of the Spirit that almost like a force from within pushes these things and keeps them back. We bear fruit despite the pressure. And let's face it, if we talk about pressure, there are plenty of Christians under a whole lot more pressure than we are. If the pressure out there is less, well, let's grow more through the power of the Spirit. Yes, we begin to experience what it is to be truly human now. An ongoing project for us. If you're a young Christian, don't beat yourself up that you might not see the truth of your older Christians, of your parents, of those who've been Christians for a long time. If you're a young believer, well, profess your faith. Sit here at the table. Because that's one way that you'll find Christ present to you every time, nurturing you. But don't beat yourself up that you haven't got all the knowledge and all the fruit. And let's face it, knowledge is overvalued. The fruits of love and generosity and forgiveness. The fruits of the Spirit, kindness. All of these things. Don't beat yourself up that you might not see those as much as other people. You're a young Christian, you're growing. But try to add to your faith. Seek to live for Christ and grow. Begin to experience that life more and more as you give everything that you have, your musical talents, whatever you have, use them for God. But hope gives us the long view. Because we do end up in the graveyard. But God has come in Jesus Christ to put the world to rights. He's not going to let death stand in the way. Peter, again. What about Peter tonight? That's no bad thing. Chapter 1 of his first letter. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we are born to a living hope. A living hope. Not some kind of technical exercise. Oh yeah, there's something in Revelation about a new heaven and a new earth. Don't try not to forget that. I'll write it on a piece of paper and keep it in my back pocket. A living hope. When the alarm goes off at 7 o'clock, a living hope. When you get news of the loved one who has cancer, a living hope. When you lie on your deathbed, a living hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ declares that living hope. Death will not prevent God's purpose is for us, His people. And if you are not one of God's people yet, and you wonder what's so great about forgiveness, well, forgiveness is great. Life after forgiveness is great. And a living hope for the whole of the future. A life that goes on forever. Lived without sin, lived without injustice. A life which is empowered by a perfect relationship with the Creator in a world which has been renewed, where everything that you love, not only Jesus Christ who you love, not only the Father who you love, the Spirit who you love, but the mountains that you love, the trees that you love, the music that you love, the art that you love, The people that you love. The food that you love. God has this in store for us through Jesus Christ. We have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you might be thinking, well, how can you say that? I thought we were going to heaven. Jesus is coming back here. When Jesus rose from the dead, he ate fish. He made a barbecue on the beach. He said, look, I'm not a ghost. I'm a real person. That's why Paul looks forward to the deliverance, not only of people, but of the whole creation, from sin and injustice, so that God's forgiveness sweeps the cosmos. God's life sweeps the cosmos. And the hope of the gospel is fully realized. Forgiveness, life, hope. That's what Jesus' death and resurrection are about. It's real. It's history. God's story continues to be written. And for all of you tonight, don't write yourself out of the story. Write yourself in. Follow Jesus Christ. Give him your life. Find forgiveness. Find life. Find hope. Amen.